FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is May 2nd, 2016, which means another month has gone by, and it's time for Mickey Fulp's Major Monthly Market Review. Mickey, it's that soon again already. Do you believe it?
Happy May Day, Kerry.
So pretty soon, happy Cinco de Mayo. But in the meantime, we had some major moves last month that you really need to know about. So speaking of major moves, it didn't happen on the stock markets. Let's start with the Dow, Mickey.
Well, the Dow and the S&P 500 both made nice gains of up about 0.5% over the month. And the Dow touched above 18,000. The S&P briefly touched above 2,100. So both those indices are within 0.5% of all-time highs. On the other hand, NASDAQ had another bad month, down 2%. I think a lot of that has to do with disappointing earnings from Apple. I guess $10 billion in earnings is not enough. Also affecting the S&P 500, no doubt, would be the Twitter earnings. These guys are doing some accounting shenanigans at Twitter because they have yet to ever show a profit, negative earnings using standard GAAP measures. Meanwhile, the Russell 2000 was up about 1% over the month. The Toronto Index, no surprise, up 3.5%, almost to 14,000. That has a lot to do with positive movement in commodities, especially oil. The big winner once again was the Toronto Venture Exchange, which is very gold driven, I might say, up 30% year to date, 16% over the month. But, you know, it's still trading about 75% below its all time or its post global economic crisis high of 2440. It's at 675 on that index. Emerging markets basically flat over the month, close the month at 840. And the VIX, not a very volatile month, ended the month a little less than 16. So not a lot of volatility in the S&P 500 future prices over the month.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to comment, Mickey, on Apple. Their profits going down, that's one thing. You know, profits are whatever they are, however they get defined, but they're top line revenue decline went from $58 billion for the quarter to $50 billion. And that is pretty substantial because you could pretty much make the argument with leverage that $8 billion was very costly in terms of the bottom line.
Well, I'd have to agree with that. A lot of it has to do with sagging sales in China. You know, at some point, you just kind of saturate your market. Now, Apple's coming out with the iPhone 7, I think, within the next month. So that's expected to give a boost with, you know, the planned obsolescence of your cell phone. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's still a fairly profitable company.
Yeah, country. It's a country.
Yeah, country. Yeah, almost, you know, revenues of $50 billion with a profits of $10 billion, that's not a bad margin.
That's darn good if every company could do that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, certainly Twitter's earnings were nothing to tweet home about. But, well, going on to the currencies, dollar hasn't been too pretty for the last 3 months, has it?
No, it hasn't. And, you know, the dollar really, I think, got ahead of itself. It surged back briefly above 100 the month of November and hung around at the 98.99 level again for a couple of months. But so it closed the month at 93 and change, down 1.5%. That's a 52-week low. The euro at $1.15 is a 52-week high. 10-year treasury, no rate increase from the FOMC on Wednesday. So it hung right in there at 1.8 5.83% on a 10-year T-bond, still very low. And the real news today, I think it came out today or yesterday, the real news over the last couple of days was about Bitcoin. So some Aussie computer scientist has now claimed he is the founder of Bitcoin. And on that news, Bitcoin lost 3%. So closed the month at 456 for a 10% gain over the month. But, you know, I don't really know why this is news. You know, there's been a couple of other people in the past that they claim they are the founders of Bitcoin or designed the algorithms that became Bitcoin. You know, I guess the real concern is that the guy, if he actually is the founder, he'll own 1 million Bitcoins. And the Aussie government is tax and revenue or whatever they call them in Australia has already raided his house looking for his $440 million worth of Bitcoins.
Well, they believe him. I don't know if we should believe him or not, but the government believes him, and it just shows you the power of ideas. Because when you get down to it, Bitcoin's just an idea here. Incorporates a lot of technology, but it's just an idea. And for him to be public enemy number one in Australia because he claims mantle of creatorship of the alternative cryptocurrency there, that should tell you a lot about where your government is heading. But hey, more importantly, onto your and my probably favorite area.
Well, we're going to real money now.
Yeah, well, real money. Well, talk about Bitcoin's real money, Gary. I could buy something on Overstock.com with Bitcoin, Mickey, if I had to. I think even Apple. But we go to gold, silver, and the precious or noble metals, and quite an impressive month, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly was. Gold toward the end of the month, basically after the FOMC on Wednesday failed to raise interest rates, did a little surge, and it's finally broken through after consolidating for nearly 3 months now in the low to mid 1200 range. It surged above it, broke resistance at 1280, closed the month at 1293 for a 5% gain. The real story here, we've been saying this for a while, that silver will make a move. It was undervalued with respect to gold with a ratio well above 80 for a while. Closed the month at 1782 for over a 15% gain. These are both highs, not only 52-week highs, but since the Swiss franc was floated against the euro back last January, so 15 months high. The PGEs both gained about 10%. Platinum well above 1,000, closed the month at 1,077. Palladium still relatively undervalued at 621, but like we say, a 10% gain over the month. And so copper moved up 3.5%, closed the month at 229. No one's going to get excited about that price, but I think that is due to the North American construction season. You know, recently we did a study of the seasonality of copper prices on a yearly basis, and so we would expect this bump in March and April, and we certainly saw those.
Oh yeah, and it just was amazing with silver. I mean, it was up to 83.1 ounces to gold. Now it's 72.5. Platinum looks like it's going to start coming up soon. I mean, it hit lows of 0.75 per ounce to gold.
We talked about that being a once since in 45 years it finished a month with that lower ratio. Gold to silver took a big dive with a finally silver move down to 72.5. That's still historically a high ratio. We will come out with a piece on Friday discussing the 45-year ratio of gold to silver. Platinum to gold at 0.83, you know, that is still very skewed toward the downside. You know, historically, that ratio should be above one. Oh, so yeah. both these metals, platinum and silver, still have lots of room to make up with respect to the price of gold.
Yeah, and this platinum ratio has been going below gold since we started this show back in the end of 2011. And, you know, but for a protracted period of time to trade at the levels that it has been vis-a-vis gold is really unheard of. So you can look if the gold to silver ratio is going down, then the platinum to gold ratio is going to head back up. That's almost for sure. So
I think so, Kerry. And so, you know, if you ask me today which precious metal I would buy, and bear in mind, I will not buy in an upticking market, but the next correction or little consolidation we have, I would still buy platinum.
All right. And hey, if people want to get your report coming up on the gold-silver ratio, Mickey, where should they go to get it?
Just go to mercenarygeologist.com and you'll see my mugshot and click on the banner right below it, and gives you a free subscription, and it'll be in your mailbox Friday right after market.
Hey, and one thing we shouldn't neglect, Mickey, is the resurgence of the miners, of the silver and gold miners. It's been some incredible moves, obviously off of very depressed prices, but some of these stocks have really taken off.
Well, they certainly have. And, you know, I it's a question as to how long they will continue to go on this roll. But the GDX is the top performer of any sector this year. So they were very depressed. Valuations are very strong. We see increased merger and acquisition activity. So it looks to me, and I will give this with a caveat, that it's still very early days, but it certainly appears that the bear market for commodities is the worst is over. We've hit bottom a few months ago at the, say, January 20th. So 3.5 months ago, we hit bottom, and we certainly expect a better market going forward. A nascent bull market, in my opinion, but only time will tell.
Yeah, well, it's certainly looking up for both gold and silver, for sure. I mean,
commodities, yeah, across the board, Gary, yeah, is really what it is. We're talking about a hard commodity resurgence, and it goes all the way from energy to metals to well, what else is in hard, yeah, commodities except energy and metal?
Yeah, so, exactly.
The only one that still is underperforming is uranium. It was down. It hit, a 12-year low, a daily low of 25.75 this month. Closed the month at 27.63, down 0.5%. But there's just extreme weakness. There is basically no short-term demand that's not filled right now. Meanwhile, the real story for the month was a surge in oil prices. WTI closed the month just under 46 for a 20% gain. Brent was a 21% gain. And this is despite OPEC producing 500,000 barrels more per day in the month. But in this Doha conference that came out, and they said they weren't going to cut production. Part of this is driven by seasonality. You know, this is the beginning of the driving season in North America. I look for a correction in oil prices a bit here. It's gone up too much too fast, but that's encouraging, certainly.
Absolutely. So energy prices, would you say they bottomed?
Well, we called bottom, unequivocally called bottom when it went below $27 a barrel. When was that? Briefly in January, I guess. That was tested again about a month later, but oil bounced off that. So we called the bottom at 26. dollars and change, and that looks like a good call. I mean, it just can't stay that low that long.
Yeah. Well, agreed. And eventually, every dog has its day. And like we're fond of saying, there's only one money that has withstood the test of time. Right, Mickey?
That's absolutely right. Gold is money. Nothing else is.
Exactly.
Finally, let's talk a bit about Henry Hub Natural Gas. It had quite a volatile month. Was up 13% for the month. Closed at 218 a million BTU. But a lot of what happened last week, and there was a big pipeline explosion in Pennsylvania.
Correct.
The biggest pipeline that supplies nat gas from the Texas oil or gas fields up into the Northeast United States. Natural gas is off a bit today, but and a lot of that has to do with a mild spring. There's basically no heating or cooling going on in eastern tier states. Storage levels are still very high for gas, up 50% over normal. I saw an interesting article today about LNG. It now comprises about 11% of the world's market. And you and I both think that that's the future of natural gas.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's the price differential per BTU as opposed to petroleum, so many other factors, and not to mention the greenhouse gases, whatever your view of it is, definitely situate it well for the future. Right now, I guess there's just too darn much of the stuff floating around, right, Mickey?
Well, at least in North America, so.
Yes, and very true.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It still is a regional or a continent-wide market. I don't know what nat gas prices or LNG prices are in Asia right now, but I certainly know they're much higher than $2 a million BTU.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Hey, what are we going to do here? This is what it is for now. So, and what else we got left here?
I guess that's about it. We can talk a little bit about energy ratios. The Brent to WTI, that arbitrage is still about a nickel. That's or 1.05 to one. So that's not, no one gets very excited about that. WTI to Henry Hub up a bit over the month with the relative rise of WTI over Henry Hub. And finally, it's still an ounce of gold. It'll still buy you 28 barrels of oil. That's way out of whack.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, all right. So I guess that's it then, huh?
That's it.
All right. So anyways, find Mickey on mercenarygeologist.com. That's mercenarygeologist.com. And you'll always find a link in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Mickey, your Twitter feed and your other channels here?
Well, Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. So mercenarygeologist.fm for the streaming 24/7 audio. Can listen to me constantly if you so chose.
If you're so inclined. If you don't have a life.
What a laugh that is.
All right. Hey, and it's at Carrie Lutz. We just passed the 10,000 follower mark. It's steadily progressing. So we'll be doing more with Twitter as time goes by. And Mickey, take care. We'll talk to you again next month.
Even if they aren't profitable using GAAP measures, right?
Hey,
we're both devotees of Twitter.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, it's a good way to stay in touch with you. Good way to give updates. And I think for the attention span of today's youth, Twitter is the perfect app for sure.
And on that, today's retirees too.
Well, they don't have an attention span, so that's the problem. But anyway, Mickey, take care, and
all right.
We'll see what happens next month.
Absolutely, Carrie. Good talk to you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.